And we're back. Welcome back to Blind Canvas. I'm Diana Sands, and I am here with Bodine Victoria, who is sharing so much information, so much insight on her background, how she was able to build her career, different opportunities that she took advantage of. And she's going to tell us more about that. In the first segment, you told us about FTX.
Yes.
Yeah. And then in the second, you were telling us about the opportunity to get on these, new beats and, the North Carolina?
South Carolina.
Soca Festival, right? Mm-hmm. And, when you've done all of this work and you have such a body of music, what's the next step?
You know what? The first step is to begin with the end in mind. And that may sound cliched, but really and truly, here's the way that my brain works. Okay, I want to reach these markets. Let's look at what people in these markets look like. Let's check the analytics to see what people like. These are the keywords. Okay, these are the keywords. How do I also align this with what we like in the Bahamas? Mm-hmm. Oh, wow, there's a connection there. You do your research, you read up. Okay, this is what I want to look like. This is what I want the messaging to be. And you stick with that. 1 year, 2 year, 3 years in, you stick with it, right? Then you have to realize that sometimes you don't know when people are watching you, but they're watching you and they're observing and they're marking the manner of your bearing.
I wanted to laugh, but you are absolutely correct. Mm-hmm. Because, we spoke about this also in the first segment. When you talk about being like traditional values,
yeah,
and carrying yourself with grace, mm-hmm, and, having standards.
Yeah. It's all good to defy standards, especially if they are unfair and biased. But at the same time, you still have to have a standard for the way that you conduct yourself. I've walked away from people that wanted to work with me because they've been paying me, but disrespect will not be tolerated. And disrespect comes in different aggressions and in the way that people interact with you. But you will never hear me publicly speak about my interactions with somebody or a situation that I walked away from, because you don't do that in this day and age. And I would have found that sometimes it's a few things. Sometimes people can't control the reason why they cannot meet their obligations. And then sometimes other people don't know your value. And so they treat you as though you're common. Mm-hmm. And because they treat you like you're common, if you allow them to do that, they will continue to do that. I'm not common, baby.
Well, casual disrespect eventually becomes blatant.
No, there it is. Mm-hmm. So I walk away from people and things that do not value you before it gets to the point where there's contention.
And it's personal.
And it's personal. And I would be seen in a way that I would not want to be seen. Like, I will politely excuse myself from the situation. Thank you so much. And I will send you the most polite email, especially if I know that you're not open to phone calls or a person. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. Ain't even going to be no aggression in that email. Bye. But people do watch you, and they watch your interactions. And we forget to remember that people talk. So that Generation X, that group of people, they talk with one another. They are a network. And so you have to be careful with your interactions with people. Everything that you think in your brain, you can't say out your mouth. Mm-hmm.
Especially in the social media age, because what you post lives forever. Someone screenshots it. And when you're in a business of you are the brand. You are the talent. You're it. You're the start all, the end all.
Yeah.
You have to be, it's not about emotional or knee-jerk reactions.
No.
And you need to find a way to keep it and bring it back to business.
Yes, and I think that a lot more of my peers, regardless of their age, need to be aware of that. When I first started out, I was the Facebook blast queen. Everybody, let me tell you, when I was mad, everybody didn't know and everybody was going to get it. I wasn't cussing, but I could tell you was going to get dry. There was a promoter in Exuma who tried it with me, and I mean, I dragged him, and after I dragged him, and I dragged him on the principle of the matter, and I didn't get personal with it, and I wasn't, I wasn't emotional about it, but I did drag him because he needed that. But outside of that, I've also learned that there's other ways. Like, I let my lawyer speak for me nowadays. Mm-hmm. There are times when opportunities present themselves to you and they're really good, and sometimes people can't meet their obligations and they're disrespectful with the way that they handle you, and so you send a lawyer. Sometimes it's not even disrespectful, but you still need to send your lawyer because they will continue to think that the services that you've provided can be repaid whenever they want to. And so they do not put your needs as an independent business owner above the needs of their service or their company. And so I sense it. And once Sid sends it, all of a sudden, you know, the check can appear. And this would be after a very long rope of trying to be civil, cordial, trying to appeal to empathy. Corporations and companies, very rarely, the employees may be empathetic, but the corporation is not. The company is not. And so you cannot really sit there and be empathetic with the manager who is supposed to facilitate the check that you need to pay the people that you're working with. If you manage your business well, you have the agreement. The agreement, your legal agreement, your invoice, your terms, your bill of sale, whatever legal document, the contract, you would have that and you would abide by the contract. Prior to getting litigious, which is sending the lawyer, you know, you try to make sure that you mediate as much as possible. But baby, when you got to pay your BPL bill and you got to pay this person, that person, and your credit is at risk of, you know, taking a hit, you can't afford not to be litigious. And we need people to understand that. So that's how we kind of manage the business. And I'm at the place now where I very seldom have to do that. When it comes down,
That also speaks to the value of understanding or doing your research to understand the industry that you're in, mm-hmm. because you shouldn't be an entertainer for any reason or doing any kind of business mm-hmm. in this industry without having a good lawyer and a support team or manager.
Absolutely. And in this case, I will say for the record that we do need more entertainment lawyers. We need more entertainment managers. We need more people that are in the business, because there are people like me who are willing to pay people that are knowledgeable and that will do the work. And so when those percentages go out, I don't slap up with those percentages. I send out the invoice. I itemize, you know, what I'm paying for, and I pay you what you say that or what we agree to. And that also brings me to, how do I get paid? Again, when I do my market research and I do my branding, and even when I write songs with the end in mind. So I realize that I don't have as much luxury to produce songs for the sake of producing a song I like just because I like it, because I like weird stuff in music. Mm-hmm. I do know, though, that if I want to continue to receive my residuals and I do want to continue to earn money and I want those placements and I want those licensing deals, I have to do stuff that is relevant to the international, local, and regional markets.
So you're not making music just for yourself. You're not making music just because it sounds good. Mm-hmm. You're making music because it's what you enjoy.
Yes.
And it's also a business.
Yes. And the audience itself has to have a demand for it. I need to make sure that they feel that music. And I need thematically experiences that are universal, and so universal that people the world over can buy into it, as long as I could get them in front of them. Mm-hmm. And so with FTX, you know, FTX honestly and truly has been a godsend in terms of being able to really treat me and my colleagues like the international recording artists that we are. In addition to that, they've shown continually that they place a value on the art that I create. I want to call them patrons, because at this point, that's what they are. But more than patrons, they're a team of friends. Mm-hmm. And then I have the licensing deal with Click for their new Click Platinum.
Congratulations on that, by the way. That's a big deal.
Yes, thank you.
That's a big deal.
I think that people don't understand how big of a deal. I didn't have to write a jingle for them. They heard the song. They liked the song. They approached me. We negotiated. They accepted. And then they used it. And for me, just knowing that there are people that I've built relationships with, but also I have the product that aligns with their brand and their brand values, and the placement says a lot. It encourages me, because now the market research.
It paid off.
And I can now shoot a video for that song, so that the song, which is now 2.5 years old, mm-hmm. It can get more legs, because I worked those songs for 10 years at least, because the world is huge, mm-hmm. and there are people that have still not heard about me. And then I was a BTC ambassador in 2008. It's 2022. I signed my contract. I'm now their ambassador again.
On to big things. Yes. Big things.
I know I'm giving my clients like a whole lot mm-hmm. of really free advertising. But the truth of the matter is, it's really good to see that your efforts are paying off. And when it comes down to cultural opportunities, these endorsements, these brand deals, these licensing deals, not only do they allow me the visibility for the art and culture of the Bahamas, but it allows me to pour into the art and create more art at a faster rate.
And employ more people, because yes. you're saying orange economy, but you're talking about teams of people that you work with mm-hmm. to produce not only music, but the actual performance elements. That's a big deal. I mean, if you're talking about a performance, you're talking about a lawyer, mm-hmm. you're talking about an agent, mm-hmm. we're talking
choreographer,
that's dancers, costume, makeup, audio engineer, makeup. This is one artist mm-hmm. is literally an industry all on yeah. their own.
Yes, and you know, when we shoot, that's even just one stage production. Think about when I have to shoot a video. Mm-hmm. When I have to shoot a video, that, you know, that those groups of people, you have an art director, and then you have all of those additional people, and then you have models, and I'm able to write references about the way that they interact, and then they can use the behind-the-scenes footage that I provide for them as a courtesy, mm-hmm. and the photos that I provide for them as a courtesy when they go on calls for other jobs. Mm-hmm. Like, they're able to pull up the video and say, this is me in Bodine's video, right. and I can write them a reference. It serves as a reference, and so these opportunities for licensing, again, they're not about me. I am never going to nickel and dime a person. Either I can afford you or I can't afford you. And if I can't afford you now and I really want you, I am going to see if I can barter. If I can't barter, then I come in back and I can find your money and I can get you your money for what it is that I want. So we need to be circumspect in our dealings. We need to be honest with our intentions. I am less concerned about making all of the money and keeping it to myself. I am more concerned about empowering people while still having money in the bank.
I love the way she said it. You should see her face. She's
so like, I don't want you to think like this saying, I am not a non-for-profit. Mm-hmm. I am not a non-profit or not-for-profit organization. I'm here for a profit. But at the same time, I'm not going to make that profit at the expense of another artist. And so sometimes I will pay you physical money. Other times I will pay you in opportunities and I'll pay you in referrals and things like that. And what people don't understand is those go a whole long way. We are very short-sighted with how we handle businesses, how we handle our business, how we handle our interpersonal relationships, and how we handle our research and our personal development.
You know, I think as this conversation progresses, you know, there are certain themes that are reoccurring. Mm-hmm. You know, you need to have a basic personal standard. You have to be able to see the light at the end of the tunnel in the form of opportunities. Mm-hmm. You need to know when to say yes, when to say no. Mm-hmm. And you also, I think there is a word for it that speaks to being intuitive.
Yes.
And so for young artists, if you had to give someone, a young person, advice, mm-hmm. they were thinking about, you know, I think I can sing, or maybe I can write, maybe I can produce. Mm-hmm. What's the kind of advice that you think you would have liked to have heard, 15 years ago?
Mm-hmm. One, seek mentorship. Find people and learn about those people that you would like to be like or emulate, and put yourself in those communities of people that have like interests, and then also explore groups of people that have different interests, because you'd be surprised at how they intersect. The second thing I would say is collaborate. Sometimes you don't have the resources, but you and other people are able to build your brands and build your reach just by collaborating one with another. The next thing I would say would be practice continually. Invest in yourself, please. At one point, I started to go to Lee Calendar, and then I couldn't afford it anymore. But what he taught me really went through with me for the rest of my life. But when you have the opportunity, go search out a Novi who does vocal lessons. Search out a Lee Calendar. Go to writing clinics if you want to be a writer. Continue to find people that can show you how to do things and be humble. Don't be a dum-dum. You know, don't let people take advantage of you, but also put yourself in spaces where you're able to learn more and you can adapt and you will bounce back from certain things a lot faster than you would if you had not had the opportunity. Be honest with your dealings. Nobody had to tell me this, but let me just say for the record, be honest with your dealings. Let your yes be yes. Let your no be no. And if you can't commit to something, even if you want to say yes, say, let me think about it. There's nothing wrong with saying, let me think about it. If somebody wants to rush you to an opportunity, I would say use your discretion. But also most times when people try to rush you into an opportunity, it's not exactly what it seems. And the payout on the end is not what you should get. So take your time when making decisions and be measured, as well as speak with your mentor about the decisions that you're going to be making. Finally, go and do a business course. Do a course just on business. Do a course just on business and business management. And then you'd be able to apply those lessons to whichever business you decide to do. And I think that that is where we're lacking creatively. I had the benefit of having a mother who was an entrepreneur, and I still had to go and learn business management skills, accounting skills, formal accounting skills, how to write contracts. But the more you expose yourself to it, the more likely you are to be successful in it.
Wow. Any other words before we end this wonderful episode of the NAGB's Blank Canvas?
Yes. I'm going to say you all are absolutely fantastic. Please make sure that you go and check out my Instagram. All of my socials are at Bodine Victoria, no spaces between the two. I have two new singles that are coming out. The first one is out now. That is on the Uber Love Rhythm. It's called Cry On. It's Afrobeat. And then the second single is going to be called Maintenance Fee and is produced by Rick Carey. So you're going to look out for that. Please follow my socials so you know where I'm going to be popping up, and subscribe to my mailing list at BodineVictoria.com so that you can get exclusives. And that's me. Thank you.
Oh my goodness. Thank you so much for joining me. This was certainly a pleasure. It's lovely to see you again. Mm-hmm. And as we conclude another enjoyable episode of Blank Canvas, we remind you to visit the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas as we remain a free space for Bahamians and local residents. Spend time exploring our exhibitions, and we have the Whimsical Collector. It's coming down in August. This is a historical moment in time. Kendra Farup did a fantastic job. Please make a date of it. Make a day of it. Bring the kids. It is a beautiful, excellent, once-in-a-lifetime experience, at least for the foreseeable future, to see a show like this. Take advantage of our free Wi-Fi, proudly donated by Alive, and visit our website and social media, nagb.org.bs or nagb242 on Instagram and the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas on Facebook. Stay tuned, and we'll see you next week at 6:30 p.m. Have a good one.